You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. Wednesday, April 24th. Dave Lochran, Greg Ehrenberg. Well, seven-game main slate action today. Breaking it all down. Happy to have you guys with us. And should be a good one. Yesterday, interesting enough, we have some fun around here. But we also got a promo I'm going to tell you about in a little bit that I think you guys will love. Last year was... I think people like this one more than anything else. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But first, Greg, what's happening, brother?
Yeah, yesterday was a pretty good slate. I get to take a victory lap because I told everybody I was going to play the Rockies in single entry. And nobody followed me because I was literally the only person that stacked the Rockies in the aluminum bat $222 single entry. So I know nobody listened to me because I was literally the only person that stacked the Rockies in the entire tournament. Got made fun of for an entire show for saying I was going to stack the Rockies and then nearly won the GPP, came in the top of it with the Rockies yesterday. So Michael King was uber chalk. The Rockies were the second highest scoring team on the slate. So ended up being a good day for me yesterday. Get to take a little victory lap on that.
Good, man. Good. Yeah, well, let's see if we can run it back today. We'll pull up the top pitchers tool, the top stacks tool, run the sims, look at the lineup generator, ownership, all that good stuff. Before we get started, though, it would mean much to us, a whole lot. If you took a single second, hit that thumbs up, atone for your sins here on a Wednesday morning. Subscribe to the channel. Tap that thumbs up. If you hate this show, hit the thumbs down. Make sure to do it twice, though. And as always, leave a comment down below if you're listening or watching after the fact. We read them. We respond to them. And if you want to listen in podcast form, we're out there. Anything you want. This gets uploaded. Jordan throws it up there right after the show's over. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is, we got you. Anyway, we can dig straight into this one, man. I will say also, if you're not great, if you're not betting baseball, what are you doing? We've had a lot of fun with that, yes, lately. The Dinger Tuesdays on FanDuel, the strikeout props, the homer props, all of that stuff. It adds an interesting little wrinkle to the baseball season, especially once you get into the summertime and you need to kind of spice things up a little bit. They go hand in hand.
I've got a Dinger Tuesday hack for you.
Please.
So if you guys are familiar with how Dinger Tuesday works on FanDuel, there's a Dinger Tuesday promo. So you bet on players to hit home runs. And regardless if that player hits a home run or not, you get bonus bets based on if other players in that game end up homering. What FanDuel often does, Lofty, they will post home run odds for players who are on the injured list. You could get yourself free bets by placing the bet's going to get voided because the player will be on the injured list. So
but
not
those
only are they
still
not
count
lineup,
if you get the bonus
zero
bet?
Chance of playing. You bet that player did a home run, whoever might be on that given day. It has to be a Tuesday, though, when they're running the Dinger Tuesday promo. And you just get bonus bets for nothing, basically.
So it counts even if the bet voids?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Sneaky. All right. I've been using Odd Chopper for it and a little research of my own. We almost hit the 6 for 6 because I was on Cody Bellinger yesterday. First at bat, he homers. And there were four homers in that game. You can get up to 5 bonus bets per game. So the 5 of 6 ain't bad, plus the homer. But come join us. It's a lot of fun over at Odd Chopper and on Twitter. We've been having a good time with that. All of us throwing out picks each and every Tuesday and more than that. But anyway, let's get into it. Top stacks, top pitchers. So the top stack right now, by the way, unsurprisingly, San Diego. Do we have confirmation that Ty Block is starting?
Let's see. So the official starting pitcher, let's see if it's been announced.
I don't think we do yet.
It wasn't earlier, but I'm double checking right now. And not confirmed. Not confirmed yet.
And the lowest rated stack, segue this straight into pitchers, Chicago White Sox. Joe Ryan, toe in the rubber for Minnesota. He's pulling 38% ownership right now. The White Sox in some spots have like a 2.6 run implied total. They were 2.7 yesterday. Obviously, that didn't play out as well as some would have liked. I think it was what Eloy Jimenez hit a three-run homer off of Pablo Lopez in that game. And he ended up not getting through five innings, which was kind of wild. You kind of have to go back to the well here with Joe Ryan. The only difference, he's very expensive. He's a lot more expensive than Chris Paddock was the other day. Paddock was dominant. And a lot more expensive even than Pablo Lopez was yesterday. But he has very good strikeout stuff.
Yeah, so Joe Ryan is this is one of the easier slates to pick your cash game pitchers that you have on the entire slate. So if you look at our ownership, we've got two pitchers that are going to be super popular today. Joe Ryan, Clark Schmidt. Those are the guys you're playing in cash games. For tournaments, when it goes to Joe Ryan, he's actually a little bit lower owned than I thought he was going to be. And you never know what the projected ownership exactly what it is going to end up being. But when I was looking at the slate yesterday and just looking at some of the pricing, the pitching options, I was thinking Joe Ryan might be 60, 65% owned tomorrow. Didn't end up being the case. He's 40% owned. We do him with a 33% chance of being one of the top two scoring pitchers. So, I mean, considering that the ownership is not too crazy on him, he's a good matchup against the White Sox. I don't know what the hell happened with Pablo Lopez yesterday. And I don't mean that he just gave up a home run to Eloy Jimenez. It's whatever. It was like the only bad pitch he made in the start yesterday. He only threw 76 pitches, which was very, very bizarre. I didn't really see a good reasoning for that. But I think Joe Ryan's pretty clearly the top pitcher on today's slate.
Yeah, and it's not like Pablo Lopez was just getting hammered. I mean, he gave up four hits. Yeah, he walked two, but one of them was a home run. I don't know. It's odd. But Joe Ryan just has... Like when you're talking about the strikeout upside in a spot like this, and yeah, it's gonna. I mentioned it to Matt Bellman yesterday. Said, you know, sometimes you're just gonna get games where I even said, I was like, Pablo Lopez gives up a three-run homer and it doesn't work out. Those are my exact words. It's baseball and weird things happen. But when you talk about a guy like Joe Ryan, I thought he'd be more popular too. 32% K rate this year, and even going back to like last year. Still, what, a 29.5% strikeout rate in 161 innings? This guy has great strikeout stuff. Best pitcher on the slate. What about Clark Schmidt, though? Sub 9K, going up against Oakland. It is a righty at Yankee Stadium, but still, they have the second lowest implied total on the slate, and in large part, a AAA roster.
Yeah, so... I'm getting to a lot of Clark Schmidt in my initial run of the Sims here. I actually get to more of him than Joe Ryan. My personal preference, though, is going to be towards Joe Ryan. It's also only the first run of Sims, first run of projection. So stuff could change over the course of the day. The thing I get concerned about, though, for tournament purposes, is if I do build all of my lineups around Clark Schmidt and Joe Ryan, and I assume that's what a lot of the field is going to be doing, too. We're talking about tournaments, not cash games. Cash games where you don't care as much about ownership, just play both of them. You better have some contrarian stacks or else you're going to be having lineups that are so similar to a lot of the field.
Do you agree with 42% ownership?
Just because of the matchup and how shitty the other options are, it depends what it is you're asking me. Do I think he's actually going to be 42% owned or do I think that if he was 42% owned, would I want to play him? So like which angle you're coming at it from?
Are you okay getting above the field on Clark Schmidt?
If he is actually 42% later on the day, I will most likely be underweight to the field to him, be overweight to Joe Ryan.
Yeah, I think Joe Ryan's got to come up. Let me update because I'm seeing different ownership on my screen and the screen Jordan has up. So either Jordan needs to refresh or I need to refresh. Jordan. Excuse me. Jordan, refresh that because I've got Ryan at 38%. Unless you had FanDuel up there, but that wouldn't make sense. He'd be lower on FanDuel, yeah.
Yeah, so we had an ownership update just a few minutes ago. That's what happened, because I had the same numbers as Jordan. It was that was what the data was right at the start of the show. It's
okay,
a little bit
different. Gotcha. You know, John Gray's another one, 23%. I talked about Dane Dunning being someone that I would look at yesterday as just like a low-owned mid-range guy. He wasn't great at all. He only went 4 innings. But here's another spot where it's like he could have come, or he went 4 1/3. But he struck out 7. And that's kind of, in my opinion, with Minnesota and Seattle, I think that's the way you have to approach these teams. It's like they can make for viable stacks in the same game the pitcher makes for a good pitching option. And they just, there's going to be times where they strike out at an alarming clip. So with John Gray, early in the season was looking really rough. He started turning it around. This guy has a 28% strikeout rate right now, Greg. And yes, his price has risen a little bit, but 28% Ks on John Gray coming off, you know, a 7 and a 9 strikeout game before facing Atlanta last time out. Only 1 2/3 innings, came in relief. But his last 2 starts, so actually 4 strikeouts in 1 2/3 innings is absurd. He's punching them out. The question now is, do you trust John Gray at this ownership and this price point?
Yeah, I want to see a swinging strike rate because his – here it is.
13.2%.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad so far. His strikeout rate's almost certainly going to regress a little bit. He's been in the big leagues for a very long time now, John Gray. He was one of the top pitching prospects in baseball back in like 2013 when he was a high draft pick. And – he's had a good amount of success over the course of his career, especially when you consider that he had to pitch a lot of his career in Colorado, but he's never been all that high of a strikeout guy. For his career, he has a 23.9% K rate, and he's been a very consistent guy in terms of the strikeouts. His strikeout rate has never really deviated all that far from his career average. So I do think that 28.4% K rate is going to end up dipping a little bit going forward, but it's a matchup against the Seattle Mariners, who are a strikeout prone team. You're getting a little bit of salary savings as well as ownership savings on John Gray relative to pitchers like Joe Ryan and Clark Schmidt. So considering what his price point is, I think the ownership is about fair. He's somebody I'm going to be getting to, even if I am skeptical about the strikeout rate going forward. I don't think this particularly is the spot that he regresses when he has a matchup against a Mariners team that does swing and miss a lot.
Yeah, one of the highest strikeout rates in the league versus righties. I think the highest, as a matter of fact, right now. He's pitched really well. So I don't really see a problem with ownership on any of these guys outside of thinking that Ryan and Clark Schmidt should probably be flipped. Like, John Gray at 23% makes sense to me. We have him 20% top 2 pitcher in the top pitchers tool. No real leverage on either side. Our most negatively leveraged pitcher is Clark Schmidt right now. And then you get into guys like Ronaldo Lopez, Garrett Crochet against Minnesota. Greg, here's another. This is a weird slate because you have all of these like super high strikeout teams on the slate. What about Crochet against Minnesota, another team that has a really high strikeout rate?
Yeah, so all things being considered in the early going here, and I'm talking about price point, talking about ownership, Garrett Crochet is my favorite pitcher on the slate relative to his ownership as of right now. He does have a 5.61 ERA, but that doesn't really paint the real picture of how good he's been so far to open up the year. He's a 2.19 expected ERA. He's not walking hitters, only a 5.8% walk rate. He's a 32.7% K rate, and he gets a pretty good matchup against a Twins team that strikes out a whole bunch. So we're going to be getting sub 20% ownership on Garrett Crochet on a smaller slate where there aren't that many great pitching options to get to. I mean, how often are we going to see Clark Schmidt north of 40% owned? Crochet is my favorite guy to be overweight to the field too. He has been ridiculously good so far this year. He's just run into some bad luck that's led to him having a slightly inflated ERA. Most notably, he has a 55% strand rate. That's something that's going to be way closer to like 72 or 73% later on in the year. So he's getting done in by bad sequencing. It's whenever he allows hits, they've come in the same innings. They've come back to back. That's not going to be the case going forward. That's why he has a 2.19 expected ERA compared to a 5.61 actual ERA. So we're going to get modest ownership on Garrett Crochet. Sign me up for him.
Yeah, I'm with you. And look, Minnesota's going to run out some really heavy righty lineup. They still have the fourth highest K rate versus lefties since the start of last season. So I'm not too concerned about that. When you're a lefty, you have to know how to pitch against righties. It's just the way it is. I want to pull something up real quick. So versus right-handed hitting this year for Crochet.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
31% strikeout rate versus righties this season. That's 85 batters faced, 31% K rate, 3% walk rate, 287 xFIP. It's really not bad at all.
28% for his career as well. So yeah. It's not like this is a small sample size sort of thing. Even for his entire career, he struck out righties at a very high clip.
He looks good. So you'd put him, based on ownership right now, at the top, at sub 20% ownership?
Yeah, if I was building lineups with all the information we had right now, and I just had to enter the final version of my lineups, if I was on the Sims tool and was looking at the pitchers tab, the one that I personally would be the most highly leveraged to as an overweight to, it would be Crochet.
Jameson Taillon, man. I mean, are the Astros so bad right now that Taillon's pulling 16% ownership against Houston? I mean, it's wild. I don't think Taillon's a bad pitcher either. He's not bad, but he's not good either. Like, he's a maybe slightly above league average pitcher who's made one start this season against Miami. Wind's blowing in from left field at 9 miles per hour. 42 degrees, so it's nowhere close to those quality hitter conditions where we saw 4 home runs yesterday at Wrigley. Even though 3 of those home runs were from Chicago, Astros offense continues to struggle. Still, though, 16% on Taillon still seems a little bit high to me.
It speaks to how bad the pitching is on this slate. Like, we've got decent pitchers. Not great pitchers. We got guys in good matchups. But yeah, people are just kind of by default, it seems like, clicking on Jameson Taillon. I don't have any interest in a 16% on Jameson Taillon against the Houston Astros. To your point before, is it that the Houston Astros have been so bad that people are willing to play Taillon against them anyway? That's probably part of it. I don't want to play a somewhat popular Jameson Taillon. You could get Garrett Crochet at almost the exact same ownership against the Twins as Jameson Taillon against the Astros. Crochet is $1,100 more expensive, but that shouldn't mean that they're about the same ownership in these matchups.
Well, I'll go a step further. Wouldn't you rather just save $1,000 on Spencer Arrighetti in the same matchup? Like, I'm not saying I'd be stoked to play him, but he's $1,000 cheaper, and the Cubs and the Astros both have 4.2 run implied totals in this spot in very favorable pitching conditions. I get it. It's good pitching conditions. I'd probably just take $1,000 off the top and play Arrighetti.
Yeah. Ultimately, it's probably going to be, I don't play much of either of them, but that's, I do fair, agree with you. If I'm picking one or the other, it's Arrighetti over Jameson Taillon. I think the Cubs offense is worse than the Astros offense. Arrighetti is probably a little bit worse than Jameson Taillon, but not that we think that Taillon is any kind of great pitcher or anything like that. So if I had to pick one of them, yeah, I'd rather go to Arrighetti, who is currently slightly less popular, but much less expensive. The $1,100 discount for a pitcher. Also, if we do look at our top pitchers tool, we have Arrighetti a 13.6% chance to be the top two scoring pitcher, compared to a 12.4% chance for Taillon. So we've got Arrighetti projected better. The matchup's a little bit better. He's lesser owned. He's cheaper. So I agree with what you're saying. I think Arrighetti is somebody who I'd rather get to than Taillon on the other side of the game.
And just to kind of throw it back to your original point, do either of them look great? No. But if I'm playing a pitcher in that game, I'd rather just take the $1,000 savings. And then to your point, it starts to look a little bit ugly. Yariel Rodriguez, Joe Boyle against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium, Matt Waldron against Colorado, Alec Marsh Bryce Miller against Bryce Miller is good, but he's 9,400. So is there actually, yeah, let's spend a second on this. I mentioned to Matt yesterday, I like this format because now we can just kind of take a pitcher and start comparing them to the other pitchers in the same price range. You've got Ronaldo Lopez, Garrett Crochet, a little bit cheaper, but we'll just say within, you know, $1,500 of each other. John Gray, Clark Schmidt, Joe Ryan. Bryce Miller's up there in the same price range as those guys. He's getting 2.7% projected ownership in our tools right now.
Yeah, these cheap pitchers, let me see what am I getting to in the Sims tool right now.
Well, he's 9,400.
Yeah, I'm just looking at all of the other pitchers here in general. So Bryce Miller, who's projected comparably to the cheap pitchers for us, which I don't totally agree with, because we got Bryce Miller slightly ahead of Arrigetti and Tyone. It's a tough matchup for him against Texas. If I was entering 150 lineups right now, I'd probably have more than 2% of Bryce Miller considering the outlook of the slate. But it is hard for me to justify wanting to get to Bryce Miller at $9,400 when he is just projected comparably to all of these other guys for like $65,000, $75,000, $7,000. So for a lot of the people who are watching that are only going to be playing, you know, 1, 2, 3 lineups, Bryce Miller wouldn't be a consideration.
Yeah. He's good, man. Just tough spot. And I know the Rangers got blanked yesterday as well, but you're right. It's probably a difficult spot to get to. Which begs the question then. Is there anybody else worth talking about a pitcher? Are there any just low-owned, discounted options? Like, let's say Ty Block starts this. You're not rostering Ty Block.
No, not rostering Ty Block, not rostering Matt Waldron.
Sixto Sanchez against Atlanta.
Yeah, Sixto Sanchez. There was a point in time I loved Sixto Sanchez. He was one of my favorite young pitchers in baseball, but he hasn't pitched in years now. He had injury after injury after injury. If you look at his prop today, for his over-under for strikeouts is 2.5 because he's just not expected to pitch very deep into the game. And then also considering all the injuries, the time off, who knows what the hell his stuff is going to look like coming back. I'm still very high on the upside of Sixto Sanchez, but I don't think this is the time to start buying in on him.
He came over in the JT Realmuto trade. He was a Philly in the minor league system. The Phillies traded Jorge Alfaro, Sixto Sanchez, and Will Stewart for JT Realmuto. I'd say that turned out okay.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah, it went not. By the way, the last start Sixto Sanchez made in the big leagues was 2020. It's been 4 years because of injuries since he last made a start in the big leagues. That's so much time in between starts. He's only made one minor league start in that time, even. It was last year he made one minor league start, and he pitched one inning in that start. This year he's only worked out of the bullpen. You just can't have any trust he's going to get any kind of length in the game.
What, you're telling me that you don't think he can come in and pull an Albert Suarez?
No, I mean, Albert Suarez is my guy. That's like my favorite pitcher in baseball because he's been good to me over the last couple of weeks. But not today, not Sixto Sanchez. Because the difference with somebody like Albert Suarez, and I know that you're joking, Albert Suarez, though, the Orioles, like, this dude's 37 years old. There's zero future here for him. Just throw him out there and just let him blow his arm out. Who gives a shit? Like, whatever happens is what happens there. There's a future for Sixto Sanchez with the Marlins, and they're going to be super cautious with him.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just joking, because the last time Suarez pitched at the major league level was 2017.
Yeah, he had a crazy – he pitched in a bunch of different minor league organizations.
Who'd you say? What'd you say the team name was? What'd you say the team name was for the Korean – what'd you call it?
Oh, he pitched for the Circle T ampersand or something.
But yeah, you're not getting the Sanchez. There's only one guy we haven't really talked about yet. It's Ronaldo Lopez. And he's up there getting similar ownership to a lot of these other guys today. Going up against Miami, should come as no surprise to any of you guys that they're big favorites today at home going up against Sanchez. -238 moneyline favorites. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, biggest favorites of the entire slate. Then it's the Yankees at -230 against Joe Boyle and the Athletics. But I mean, he's getting 27% strikeouts this season, 9.9% swinging strikes, 15% called strike rate. So like called plus swinging is 25%. Some of these numbers look kind of pedestrian. He has a 95% zone contact rate, which is just wild. 79% contact rate. That's, by the way, that's anomalous. Like, that's not going to happen forever. You're not going to 95% zone contact, even if it's going to be high. That's really high. But Greg, just to further along my point and get your thoughts here, and you guys in chat, as always, where you're at on Lopez, he has a 94% strand rate this season, a 250 BABIP. And I know if you look at his XERA and his XFIP and his FIP, like all of that looks really good. But he's also without any, because he has a 0.5 ERA. But dude's benefited from the fact that, I mean, no one's getting off the base paths. And he's not missing a ton of bats.
He's a former top pitching prospect that was failed as a starter, moved to a relief role, and was solid as a reliever. And now the Braves are trying to transition him back to a starter. The early returns have been good.
He's been great this year.
Skeptical, but at least for today, it's going to be hard to avoid him because he's pitching against the Marlins. The Marlins offense has been so weak this year. Ronaldo Lopez, also, if you're looking at him on FanDuel, I think he's a pretty safe bet to get the win bonus. You had mentioned how big of favorites they are. But when it comes to DraftKings, like, at first glance, why the hell would I ever want to play Ronaldo Lopez at a price tag over 9K? And it's because the other options are also not all that great on the slate. So I think the ownership is reasonable because of the matchup against the Marlins, even though the price tag is what it is.
I think you're right. I do think there are some red, I don't want to say red flags. I think there are some signs that suggest maybe he shouldn't be 9,200. But yeah, as a huge money line favorite, in this spot, he's been good. Marlins offense is very bad. Win equity is huge here. I get it. So before we move on the stacks, let's do this. Let's do this. I appreciate you, Osiris. Said not even playing MLB today, just here for the content. Well, Osiris, even if maybe you didn't plan on playing MLB today. Maybe you didn't plan, but you're here now. So probably a good time for me to mention that we brought back the MLB lineup generator promo. It's a promo that we ran a lot last year and you guys loved it. First week of the MLB lineup generator is $5. Links in the description and in chat. Your first week is only $5. That's it. And with the lineup generator, if you're unfamiliar with it, maybe you're new to the show, maybe you didn't plan on playing today, but you're looking for an easier way to make lineups. Even if you have no time throughout the day, you could be sitting on the can firing one off after work, trying to get away from the family for 10 minutes and get 20 lineups in no problem. Here's how you do it. You go in, you just select what type you want, whether it's like balanced, contrarian, you can do all. I think that makes a lot of sense. Then your stack type, then whatever site, obviously first, then you go in and then just save the ones you want. Discard the ones you don't like. You can lock players in. You can swap players out if you're trying to kind of customize what these lineups look like. You can see how chalky or contrarian every lineup is. You can see the optimal projection for all of those. And you're trying to find the balance, right? Like what projects really well and isn't super high owned. And mind you, these lineups we're throwing out. Like after we're all of these are being generated on the back end, we're throwing out like the 99% of lineups that we don't have as good plus EV lineups that grade out well. So you're only getting lineups that grade out well, even if you just stock save 20 of them and upload them to CSV, or you choose your own. And last thing, once you're done and you save them, you can see all of your exposures. You can see your stack exposures. Really cool for $5 a week, man. And we had such awesome results with our viewers and our users on this tool last year that figured it'd be a good time to run this promo back again, Greg, with the NBA playoffs happening, but they won't be around forever.
Yeah, and if there's any lineup that maybe like most of it, but there's a player or two you don't like, you want to swap out, you could edit the lineups. And when you do look to edit it, as Jordan is showing on screen here, you're going to see all of our fantasy point projections. You're going to see our ownership projections. So if you do want to see what our projections are in every player, you could look through this lineup generator as well and look at it to get an idea of who it is that we're projecting well. And if you want to make any alterations to the lineup, you could build lineups within here using that kind of methodology too.
For sure, man. Anyway, link in the description and chat. Best $5 you'll spend. I can tell you that much. Spend $5 in your sleep. Why not spend $5 to get better lineups? You know what I mean? And if you have questions,
Discord access too.
And Discord access. And hit us up if you ever have questions. Like, we're very happy to answer any of them for you. Hopefully you guys know that. All right, let's, before we get to our stacks here, let's order our top five pitchers today. By preference, obviously ownership. We'll include some context here. You can go first.
Top five. All right, let's see. Do I have to do them in order?
That would help.
All right. So I'm going to say, if we're also including ownership, not just like who I think is going to score the most fantasy points. Crochet. Joe Ryan. I'll go Clark Schmidt, 3. Ronaldo Lopez. No, John Gray, 4. Ronaldo Lopez, 5.
Where did we lose me, Jordan? Am I back?
Yeah, you're here.
Ah, there we go. Gray, 4. Ronaldo Lopez, 5.
Yes, that was what I went with.
I'm going to go same order, except I'm flipping Joe Ryan and Garrett Crochet. So Ryan, 1. Crochet, 2. Stacks, baby. Let's go. We had a question from Jay. What's Greg's single entry stack today? We'll get there. Hold on. We'll get there. Top stack probability in our top stack tool, San Diego, against presumably Ty Block, who was just called up, 24%. The amazing thing, and I'm happy whenever you point this out, because a lot of people ignore the context here. They still are positively leveraged. Like, they still have 16% ownership, but 24% top stack probability. So even though this is a popular stack, right now, we're showing them as under-owned compared to the field.
Yeah, and keep in mind, because we also got the question about single-entry stuff, is that this is large field ownership. The Padres, I am expecting to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 35 to 40% owned as a stack in single-entry, which very much changes the equation. For large field tournaments, though, if this ownership holds, here's what's going to end up happening. The Padres are not going to be a team I'm going to consider in single entry, and they're going to be by far my most stacked teams in large field contests where you can play 150 lineups. Because, yeah, this is a team where the field is spreading out a little bit more in large field tournaments. They're projected to be underrepresented right now. 16% ownership, 24% chance to be the top stack. I'm kind of surprised that there isn't more ownership going to the Padres. Now, part of that is we don't have a confirmed starting pitcher for the Giants. I'm assuming that it's going to be Ty Block. Lofty's assuming it's going to be Ty Block. Our projections are assuming it's going to be Ty Block. But when it gets confirmed and that changes some of the betting odds and I could change some of the projections that we see just out there in general, that could make the Padres become more popular. But at first run here on everything, the Padres look like by far the best large field stack.
Yeah, they're absolutely. And then you get to a team like Atlanta today. I don't know what to make of Atlanta because you're always going to have to pay a premium on these guys. Sean, is Sean V in here? Sean, I think you'd be happy to see your boy Matt Olson with another offer yesterday. And that's not me insulting Sean. Sean said you had to stay away from him. And I was saying you never know when they're going to wake back up. But yeah, he has been in hibernation for some time now. Still 5,900. Wow. But what about Atlanta? Second highest top stack odds against Sixto Sanchez, who, as you mentioned, hasn't pitched in the league in quite some time. Never been a guy that is allowed a ton of power. You know, even at the major league level, which has only been, what, like 45 innings or something, he hasn't given up a ton of power. But how much does that matter against the Braves?
I mean, I don't even know how much his career history matters, considering that we've seen so little of him the last few years. The thing that's most concerning to me is when Sixto Sanchez first got called up, and one of the reasons that he was such a highly touted prospect, like you had said, Lofty, he was a key piece of the JT Realmuto trade from the Marlins to the Phillies, is that he had ridiculously good stuff. His average fastball velocity as a starter back in 2020 was 99 miles per hour. This year, as a reliever, his average fastball velocity is 94.4 miles per hour. So we're talking about a guy who missed 4 years pretty much due to injury, and it doesn't look like he's the same guy right now. We don't know for sure until we see him pitch more, but I think that the Braves are a team to bet on at modest ownership just because we have no clue what we're getting out of Sixto Sanchez.
Yeah, 100%. I'm with you. And I think ultimately, like, they're just too good of an offense to bet on Sixto Sanchez. That's what it comes down to. And then you've got a Yankees team. Look, Joe Boyle, they're going up against a right-handed Joe Boyle at Yankee Stadium. So you look at this game, and naturally, by the way, wind's blowing out to right field at 13 miles per hour. That's never good for a righty. But Joe Boyle, kind of an odd one. He's not a ground ball pitcher, hasn't been at the major league level at least, but he's given up no power, like no home runs. I just don't know how long something like that lasts. It's not like he gets a ton of ground balls. It's not like he's out there inducing soft contact at an elite clip. He has a single digit swinging strike rate. I feel like the other shoe has to drop at some point.
He doesn't throw strikes. That's the one thing we know for sure. That's been consistent with him this year.
He walks
been
a lot
consistent
of
with him through the minor leagues. 14% walk rate so far this season. You look at him in AAA last year, 17% walk rate. In AA last year, 10% walk rate with the A's. 19.4% walk rate in AA with the Reds last year. The guy's going to put a lot of hitters on base. That's a recipe potentially for disaster against the New York Yankees. Because I it's totally true. If you look at his numbers so far this year, he isn't giving up power. But when you're pitching against the New York Yankees, that could change in an instant, especially when he's already putting guys on base with walks. So, I mean, this Yankees team, which the ownership looks about fair, 8% projected ownership to 9% top stack odds. It's a team to be getting to against Joel Boyle, though, because if Boyle's going to be walking hitters, then he's also going to get to a spot where it's like, hey, I have to throw strikes to hitters like Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. It's going to be a problem for him. I think this is a very bad matchup for Boyle.
It's an awful matchup for Boyle. So basically now you've got San Diego at Coors in presumably a very good matchup. You have Atlanta, expensive, in a really good matchup. Expensive Yankee stack in a really good matchup. Where do we kind of draw the line? And are there some cheaper stacks that we should be looking at? I mean, Toronto is that one of the highest value stacks on the slate, but they're negatively leveraged because they're getting a lot of ownership, but they still, just given the price of some of these bats against Alec Marsh, even though that park suppresses home runs quite a bit, they're showing up as a nice stack in the tools. I wonder if Seattle's viable today. I always wonder about a team like this that has some pop, you know, two-run home runs yesterday against Dane Dunning. John Gray, you said it, I said it. Like, he's been really good, but is he as good as he's looked? Interesting spot for Seattle.
Yeah, right now we are getting a good amount of them in the Sims tool. I was getting to them as, let's see, my third most rostered stack in the initial run that I did. You'll see the one that Jordan did that he has on screen. He got them as his second most rostered five-man stack, showing up in 15% of lineups. So there's definitely something to the Seattle Mariners in our data today. I do think that it's a little bit too much of them that is showing up in the initial runs here. I think that if we're looking at the Mariners as a team, it is a park upgrade for them on the road in Texas, but not the most ideal matchup against John Gray. So it's a team to be getting to. I don't want them in like 15% of lineups like we're getting in this initial run, though.
Are there any other stacks that you like today?
So I'm going to be getting to a lot of the Padres in large field tournament. There's zero doubt about that. There's also not a lot of, because you had asked about cheap stacks before. I don't really like the cheap stacks because they're picking up ownership. So what I liked about the Rockies yesterday is I was able to play them at 1% ownership and against a chalk starting pitcher. Today, the White Sox are actually 4% owned against Joe Ryan. I can't believe that they're 4% owned against Joe Ryan. If Joe Ryan was 65% owned, the White Sox were 1%, he got my attention. But not when the field is actually playing the White Sox. The Twins are 8% owned against Garrett Crochet. The A's are 4% owned against Clark Schmidt. We do have the Marlins with 5% ownership against Ronaldo Lopez. So this is the issue I have with some of these chalk or not chalky offenses, these cheap offenses, is they're not necessarily chalky, but they're picking up more ownership than I would like if I was looking to be contrarian or looking for leverage. So it takes a lot of these offenses out of play for me as being actual primary targets.
It's a good point. There isn't much that stands out here. I mean, unless you're looking at like a Kansas City against Yariel Rodriguez, but I don't love that.
No, there's a lot of offenses that just don't look great. They've got super low top stack odds, still picking up 4 to 5% ownership. So the lowest owned team that I liked the most today, it's actually going back to the well with my team from yesterday, 6% ownership to the Colorado Rockies. Matt Waldron is not a good pitcher at all. And we've got the Rockies with the third highest top stack odds on this slate. It's a Coors Field game, so even some hitters at the tail end of the lineup. It's Coors. We saw Brandon Rogers hit a grand slam yesterday. Anybody could have success at Coors Field. So that's the lowest owned team that I'm liking the most. It's the Colorado Rockies against Matt Waldron, assuming this ownership holds until later.
I actually like that. Plus, Waldron has had real problems with home runs as well. He might be on to something here. He's got a
lead. Many low-end offenses to like.
Let me see something before we go. Yeah, and it's really it's not a particularly expensive stack for Colorado either.
Not at all. Waldron this year, 4.74 ERA, 4.6 expected ERA. He's a guy who historically doesn't generate a lot of strikeouts, only an 18.8% K rate for his career. So that means we're likely going to be seeing him have the ball in play against him at Coors Field, which is always something that's a potential recipe for disaster. He doesn't have great stuff. Average fastball velocity, 91.5 miles per hour. So we got a guy who's pitching a contact at Coors Field. That just opens up a whole lot of variables that could come into play. I don't like the Rockies quite as much as I did yesterday because they're not 1% owned. We're not getting leverage against them in a matchup against a chalky starting pitcher. We are getting 6% ownership on them, and there just is not that many good options to get to at low ownership.
Get to our top three stacks ranked before we go. But for those of you guys already on Sleeper, they tomorrow, you know how they usually do free squares for new users, not always for existing users? Tomorrow, free square on Jalen Brunson down to half a point. So any of you already on Sleeper, down the half a point. If you're not on Sleeper yet, you're getting a $500 first match deposit bonus when you sign up. It's the best bonus out there. You won't find a better one for any of these pick'em sites. And not just the Brunson one tomorrow, but today, Chet Holmgren free square, half a point. So from 15.5 points to half a point in game two in that OKC Pelicans game. So $500 first match deposit bonus, free square on Holmgren. And then for new and existing users tomorrow, for everybody, Jalen Brunson, half a point free square as well. With the dynamic pricing, you can grab home runs, double doubles, triple doubles, stolen bases, doubles, all of that stuff. Because instead of it just being like standard juice lines, what it is they multiply it. So if the homer on a traditional book is like 4-1, well, you know, plus 400, this would be, you know, a 4x multiplier. And then you can up to 100 extra entries. A lot of cool things over there at Sleeper. Pick 'em if you haven't done it yet. Check it out. Link in the description and in chat. Free squares today, free squares tomorrow, and a huge deposit bonus. All right. Favorite stack is San Diego, right? So let's just get that out of the way. What about 2 and 3? Because I've got to throw Atlanta in there against Sanchez.
Yeah, so I'm not just trying to read off exactly what our tools say. I just happen to agree with them, at least as far as stacks are concerned. I disagreed a little bit with pitchers in a different order. But for stacks, if we're talking large field tournaments, Padres 1, Rockies 2, Braves 3.
Okay. I want to throw the Yankees in there too. I think at some point things could truly begin to unravel for Joe Boyle. And with winds blowing out to right field, which is no good, at Yankee Stadium for a right-handed pitcher that doesn't get ground balls, doesn't miss a ton of bats. He's loading the bases on walks, and now he's got to hit the strike zone. Things could get ugly pretty quick. Anyway, appreciate you guys hanging out. Follow Greg at GArenbergDFS, me at Lafayette_D. And remember, link in the description and chat, $5. Won't be going on forever. MLB lineup generator, $5 for your first week. You have questions, hit us up. We're happy to help you out. Live Before Lock tonight, Live Before Lock for NBA tonight. We'll see you guys back here. And of course, over on Playback if you feel like hanging out after the shows. Peace.